Civilization, where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.
So, we're going to do this in three parts, because I am aware there are still people who are new to the crop circle story. So we're just going to spend 10 minutes just looking at the background to crop circles. Then we're going to look at the shears from the UK. Then we're going to look at some from the rest of the world, because it is not just an English phenomenon. And then we are going to conclude and maybe think about where all this may go. So, for those of you that don't know the story of crop circles, we need to just have a brief recap. The thing about them is, as I mentioned at the beginning, they kind of lift people. So we talk about all this slightly worrying stuff, but there's something about these patterns that just keep appearing that offer something else. They don't interfere with life. They just say, hey, there is still beauty. There are things which somehow expand the mind. So how did that start? Where did it begin? Well, some of you know, and you can go to sleep at this point. They go back hundreds of years. Here's the famous mowing devil, which is an illustration from 1678 in a pamphlet published in that year in Hertfordshire. And there are hundreds of records of early crop circles going back hundreds of years. This is one of the best. We have photographs from the 1930s onwards, just recently an Australian researcher looking at what they call the Google overlay of 1945, discovered lots of crop circles in 1945, and we already knew some had been photographed during the war. So, number one, it's not new. It's been going on in some form or another for quite some time. And then, of course, in the 1970s, more awareness began to grow. And they were essentially, but not always, but essentially mostly circles in these days. And they were fairly simple, and we're just seeing plants, of course, that they're not cut. They're just bent over very carefully at the base of the stem and swirled around in various directions. And we'll see some of this as we go through. And any crop will do. Wheat and barley, yes, of course. Rapeseed, like we see here. Rye, oats, flax, and even sweet corn maize. We'll see some of that later on. So literally anything, sooner or later, will have a crop circle in it. The early theories revolved, maybe not unnaturally, around the weather. And it was presumed that it was probably a vortice of some kind or a mini whirlwind. But that idea then was challenged when things like this began to arrive, because symmetry was harder to explain in the whirlwind theory, although the various theories were then developed to try to show maybe the snowflake principle was in operation here, but at a much larger sort of scale than we'd seen before. But one of the problems we had, of course, was there were strange peripheral phenomena. I mean, number one, people looked at these from some angles and said, that's a UFO that's landed in the crop. Because you can see why they would think that. But then, the fact was, there were actually really UFOs hovering in and around them. Many people have seen strange lights, including myself, I might add, over the years, in and around crop circles. And you can see here, that's a very classic ball of light. Many of you will have seen them. If you haven't, just go onto the internet and look up crop circles, balls of light, and you'll find many different videos available. So then you get this question, are they random? Is it just like ball lighting? Are they intelligently controlled? Which, of course, many people believe they are. Are they entities in their own right? And certainly when you see them moving around in and around these formations, you do wonder. So then, of course, you had the theory come in, maybe there was an outside intelligent agency. And the people that believed that then began to seem more credible when there was a huge leap in development. In 1990, we saw the arrival of these things, the pictograms, as people called them, because they seemed to now be symbolic. They seemed to be more than just circles and rings. There'd been a gradual development. Now anything could be expected, and indeed duly appeared as the years went by. And 1990 saw huge press coverage, television programmes. You know, this is where the fuss that has lasted ever since really began in this year, 1990. And of course there were research teams by now up and running, and they realised inside they were being made with a very meticulous quality. Here's some random samples of images showing you the knotting and the weaving and the real craft inside many of these things. So it's not just crudely smashed down in a hurry, sometimes, but not always. And, you know, when you look at them in great detail, there's a lot of, I think, important forensic evidence that largely is never discussed in the mainstream. I mean, here's a local formation from Patcham from 1992. Lovely formation. In the days when Sussex used to get lots of crop circles. They've left us alone in recent years. But this is young green crop. Now, that's interesting because you can rub a finger on the stem and leave a fingerprint really easily because there's a silvery bloom that grows on the stem. When you start treading on it, you're going to leave marks, you're going to damage it. And yet, many formations don't show this when you go inside. They seem to be utterly untouched. And I'll show you in a second the inside of a known man-made formation. And another thing to consider, some of these formations, you can see a swathe going out there, but if you lift it up, you can sometimes find other layers and bits running underneath. So there's more to it than just a basic layer of flat crop. And yet you compare them to ones which were made for TV programs. Here's a good example. One made for the History Channel some years back. We always seem to find this regular damage. These arrows are pointing to these crease marks and breakage to the stems. When you know what you're looking for, this is really obvious to see. And we always seem to find it in known man-made designs. It would appear to be where the planks of wood that people use go crunch, crunch at regular intervals. And they break the stems, as you would imagine. The puzzle we have here is that many formations don't demonstrate this. And so you would have thought this was something very important to discuss. And yet, we never hear about this. When the press is telling you, as they always do, they're all man-made, and they're made by very clever artists or very drunk students. Funny how they don't see any paradox in that, isn't it? But anyway, they will never discuss the state of the crop. And yet the state of the crop is, of course, a very important thing to discuss. And it's not just about is there damage or lack of. There's very good evidence that biological changes are occurring in some of these crop formations. The skeptics say, no, it's all complete fantasy, and all these researchers who say that are mad or liars, they never engage with the evidence. The evidence still stands. All these years on, there have been peer-reviewed scientific journals which have even printed articles about crop circles. Hey, they don't talk about that anymore, do they? And yet people like William Levengood here have found changes inside that you cannot do by just manually flattening down the plants. For instance, the embryonic seed heads in young green plants are often abnormally mutated compared to normal samples. Those nodes, you know, the knuckles you get on wheat and barley are often abnormally swollen, elongated, as if they've been heated up. And for some, that's exactly what's going on, and probably coming from the microwave spectrum. Now, what the trigger for that is of course, the great unknown. But these are just things to remember as we go through with the rest of it, looking at, you know, pretty pictures from above. Inside, there's a lot of important evidence going on. So the years rolled by, and of course, 1991 saw even more extraordinary shapes. And so those who were by now saying they were symbolic had to then say what they were. Were they alien symbols, ancient symbols, religious, or occult, or alchemical, or what? The truth was they seemed to be all and none of these things at the same time. But what was clear by now was that mathematically they really were being made with a great sense of precision. I mean, here is a diagram of that formation revealing its inherent geometrical form. And the point is, you cannot overlay these intersecting lines and rings this precisely if that central shape is in any way random or poorly constructed. And the more you look at crop circle geometry, the more you realise it really is pretty staggering stuff. This is not what you do when you fall out of the potter's drunk at midnight. Okay? And so when people say that, they're being really quite stupid, because whatever's going on here needs precision and it's a work of genius, even if you think it's people, it's not happening like that. But equally, given all the studies, the books, the websites devoted just to the mathematics of crop circles over the years, you begin to realise this kind of stuff is more than random, and it's certainly embodying a lot of information just in the mathematics alone. So, mathematics, very important part of it. We then started to get fractal shapes, chaos theory patterns like this, the Mandelbrot set in 91. And what's curious about a fractal is it basically is how scientists demonstrate how nature creates natural geometry. And they can replicate the equations now using computers. And one of the shapes that arises from the process they use is this. So this comes out of natural mathematics. Don't need a mind. Nature will produce this sooner or later. And that has made some people think even some of the more complex designs could be natural in origin. Others have argued it back the other way, however, and said, well, hang on a minute, if you're saying you can run these equations on computers, how do we know somebody isn't using computers and satellites and lasers to make them? To which the answer is, they might be. But who, and how, and why? As unknown as any other theory. Some say the military make them. You know, why would the military test secret technology, that's the argument, so publicly? Why not test it secretly? Unless it's some weird New World Order double bluff wanting to make us think aliens are coming, which some people have said, but either way, they ain't knocked out by people with bits of wood. So the arguments began to get going, but of course those who believed in an outside agency were suddenly, well, pretty much knocked backwards by the Doug and Dave revelations of 1991, where they said it was two old blokes with bits of wood. And I'm not going to go into this tonight. Suffice to say, they had no evidence. When they made formations for the cameras, they were terrible. They bore no resemblance to what they were claiming. There was evidence of MI5 involvement in the issuing of the press release. Think on that for a second. And basically, it was a joke, but it did enough to put a lot of people off. The fact that here we are today, and still people will occasionally say to me, oh, it's those two old blokes that make them, isn't it? It's quite amazing, especially when you consider that one of them's been dead for 15 years. So, you know, this was a distraction story. And anyway, they said they were retiring, they weren't making any more. And anyway, they couldn't explain the overseas ones or the historical ones. So they clearly weren't the answer. People have tried to have competitions over the years to make man-made designs. Here's one in 92, where they made all these man-made formations using different teams. And it showed what we've seen from most attempts since, is that yes, you can, of course, make a shape in the crop. But they're not the same as the best. There's no weeding, there's no layering, there's lots of footprints and damage, and there's no biological anomalies, and it's just not the same. Some formations are man-made. We know this. Maybe many, maybe less. You have to decide. Those of you that know me of old know I'm not going to tell you which tonight are man-made and which are not, because mostly I don't know unless I was there when it was made. I can rank off, but it's not evidence. You must decide in your hearts which ones resonate with you. And others will say it doesn't even matter where they come from. If they speak to you, like a painting does it matter whether Alien Zorg made it, or the bloke up the road who happens to be the best artist in the world? Does it matter? If it speaks to you, that's enough. But the reason I do make a point to show that there is a phenomenon that demands more importance is, unfortunately, the world outside says, oh, if even one's man-made, they're all a load of rubbish. And people are very black and white about it. Well, I'll just say this, therefore, aside from the other differences, the average man-made formation takes 6 to 9 hours to construct, to be seen many times, sometimes longer. You don't have that time available very often. Some appear in very short periods of time. And on some nights, and we have daytime appearances, of course, but on some nights you will have several major patterns in an identical style across several counties sometimes, when even one of them would be more than a night's work based on the evidence we've seen from the human circle makers. So we're not saying there aren't any man-made ones, of course there are, but to say they're all man-made doesn't really add up when you look at the overall evidence. And by the time we got to 94, we were getting astronomical designs. This one is showing you the constellation Cetus, with Mars, Saturn, Jupiter and the Moon, and it predicted a date of 6th of April 2000 at midnight GMT. Whereupon, when that date then arrived, it coincided with an enormous solar flare. And we had a huge display of the aurora seen around the world, which peaked at midnight GMT. Exactly as shown here. Now some said that was coincidence. But if it was, you then have to explain how a number of other formations have done the same thing. They seem to have predicted unpredictable astronomical phenomena using dates and times, showing you them as astronomical charts. That seems beyond coincidence. But then, of course, you have to say that would mean that something knows what's going to happen in the future. Which, of course, then has a slightly disturbing implication. So, the times roll on, and, you know, we have masterpieces like this. Actually, this was also in 1994. And, I mean, one thing to consider here is that the thing is, you don't get a practice when you make these. If people were making practice formations, you'd find evidence. Whether try to scrub it out or, you know, try to lay it out somewhere, that never happens. You can't go wrong. You can't rub out a line or step backwards. You go majorly wrong with one component, and that's it. The crop's flat. You can't make it stand up again. Now, we do find human error in some crop circles, what certainly seems to be, although that's another argument we'll come to. But that said, you would think if all the thousands of formations reported over the years were all man-made, you'd expect to see human error more than we do. And when you come to draw these things, as people like Michael Glickman or Alan Brown will tell you, you suddenly realise just what's involved. They're works of genius. So, as the years rolled by, we had interesting encounters like this. Those of you that have read this week's Fortune Times, interesting that they are still trying to debunk this formation. This arrived in 96, and you can see for yourselves there, Stonehenge, there's the A303. This road tilts visibly down towards the 2. Fortune Times is a debunking magazine. It always has been, and it still is. And they're still harping on saying, no, this formation was a man-made formation, and the reason that the arguments have grown is that there are many claims that this appeared in daylight hours within 45 minutes. Right, have a look at it more closely. It's 915 feet long, 151 circles, and we have multiple witnesses who the Fortune Times says are all basically lying or very inaccurate, with no evidence, note. They say, no, it was there all day. It was made the night before, and it was right next to Stonehenge. And nobody saw it till 6 in the evening. That's unbelievably ridiculous. There were planes circling over Stonehenge. The farm manager says he was in the field that day, and it wasn't there till at least 5:30 in the afternoon. We have the Stonehenge staff who have confirmed this. Fortune Times also spins the lie that you couldn't see it from the road. You could. I've got slides. And we could see it like this, but it was clear there was a formation there. So the debunking goes on, and that says to me how powerful this phenomenon is, that this formation in 96, they're still trying to debunk it. And guess what? There's no evidence. 14 times is a disgrace. There we go. So we have some appearing in very short periods of time, and that is important because, for instance, a formation like this in 97, a firm of architects were approached by Rob Bearcloud, a very good American researcher, who said, I want you to tell me, if you had to reproduce this working at night, how long would you need? And the company did calculations. And they came back and said they would need a week and 3 days to make this. Now, I think that's an overestimate. But nonetheless, it goes to show, you don't knock that up in a couple of hours. And I mean, going back to the Stonehenge thing, the other thing is, if it appeared in daylight hours, which I am personally happy that it did, nobody was seen. There is a lady that claims she watched them appearing under a strange mist out of nowhere, and she's one of many eyewitnesses over the years who said they appear within seconds, but no, she's a liar as well, apparently.
There was a pilot that lost the spiral,
yes.
He flew over at about, say, 5:15, dropped his friend off in Salisbury and flew back over about 20 minutes later and it was there.
Yeah, do you know what the Fortune Times says to that?
No.
He's a liar.
Oh, sure.
So let's move on. How about this one? So here we have a man-made formation, would you believe, made for Mitsubishi in 1998. Now, I quite like it. I think it's rather fun. And it wasn't a hoax. It was sponsored, paid for, done above board. They paid the farmer, did it in daylight hours. And guess how long it took them? 2 days. 2 days in broad daylight, no need for stealth. So no time-consuming, crunching around in the dark, trying not to be seen. And it took 2 days. And they made a Weetabix logo a year or so after this, and that took similar time. And yet, you've got so many that appear in very short periods of time. And also, we only know the small pool of people that have ever claimed that they've made crop circles. And some of them clearly do. But their claims and insinuations, and that's mostly all they are, cannot explain the bigger part of all the thousands of formations we've had over the years. And this is why the arguments go on. This, of course, is one of the masterpieces. 2001, 800 feet across, or thereabouts, 409 circles. And even one of the guys that made the car formation said, I don't see how you could have made this in one night. This did appear in one night, on a night of pouring rain, it must be said. So the fact that it was clean and pristine inside the next morning, not a muddy footprint inside, is of course more important evidence. And, you know, each year goes by and you get your own controversies. This is one of the first formations that got the tabloids discussing the 2012 prophecies. It's got Mayan symbolism around the outside, Sumerian, Egyptian on the inside. There have been several crop formations which have directly referenced the ancient time cycle, where cultures like the Mayan people, but many others around the world, said that from 21st of December 2012, in our reckoning, they didn't have that date, but that's how it calculates, would be the beginning of a huge period of change. Not the end of the world. There's one reference to the end of the world in one Mayan prophecy, but that could be taken symbolically. The rest of it is more of a consciousness shift. It's about upheaval, not the end, but in fact the beginning. The Mayans called it Creation Day. So here we are, beyond it. We are now in the new era, according to the ancients. The crop circle said it first, and so even the Daily Mail reported that. Didn't mention the mob this time. They called it the Doomsday Crop Circle. But on the other hand, that was the first time the mainstream had started to discuss the 2012 prophecies, talk about consciousness shift and the such like. So that's quite something, isn't it? That's what the circles do. Whatever they mean, wherever you think they came from, they make people think outside the box, and they make people think about the future. I think that's a curious property. But the papers always say, they're always very sort of, they're trying to wish it away, they're always saying it's over. In 2006, they said, no, it's all finished, crop circles are over, they're disappearing. If you can't read at the back, they've fallen victim to a serial killer. Just so you can enjoy the joke. And this is a story that comes back every 2 or 3 years. It's like the story that nobody's interested in UFOs anymore. That does the rounds, but every 2 or 3 years, it's always a lie. It's got no foundation in reality, and they ran the story again, as I said at the beginning, this year. Crop circle's over, finished, and they don't show you the best ones, they show you the worst ones. It's manipulation, not true. The phenomenon lives on. So here is another formation from 2008, this time showing you the Earth's solar system as it was on 21st of December 2012, so it was anticipating that. Only one planet's not in the right position. We presume that's Pluto. It should be around here somewhere. What's it doing here? And some have said that's because it's not Pluto. It's Nibiru or some other weird planetary body coming in, of which there is much talk, although not so much evidence. But nonetheless, it provokes discussion. But again, it's another reminder of the new era. And here we are. In 2009, we had life forms, jellyfish, birds, dragonflies, and extinct species like trilobites were shown as formations, as if something was trying to make a point about the natural world. And the natural world is in trouble. Don't get me wrong, just because I do not accept some of this claimed evidence about man-made global warming, and by the way, 60% of the population doesn't in England, which is quite interesting, but nonetheless, it doesn't mean I don't care about the world. We should clean up the world. But let's not do it through things like Agenda 21, because when you look at how that actually works, it's coercive, and it's not going to work. But then, from pictograms and pictures and dragonflies to abstraction. But what abstraction? So in 2010, this beautiful design manages to imply three-dimensional form by having cross-hatched some areas to give light and shade and give you this really extraordinary effect. So, I mean, anything is now possible if the circle makers, whatever they may be, whoever they may be, choose to do so. And so to last year, and this was one of the masterpieces of 2012, and 2012 had been a good bumper year for the formations. People had wondered, would it be? Well, it pretty much was. Not as many as some of them thought there might be. No big kind of ultimate event, but nonetheless, very good group of quite staggering formations. And we were rather pleased that one appeared on the night of our wedding. There we are. But what, though, of where we've been since? So before we talk about that, a final roundup. The theories. You've heard some. Others say they're extraterrestrial, of course, or extra-dimensional. They are, if not quite, messages. Nudges in the ribs, so we wake up and evolve subliminal encoded messages. People do see things like this. UFOs do exist. Brian Cox says UFOs are all the work of fantasists or misreported sightings of Venus. He's never looked at the evidence, which is why I'm afraid to say when Brian Cox talks about global warming, I have to take that with a pinch of salt, because he doesn't know what he's talking about in many other areas, that is for sure. However, if there is an outside agency, you've then got to tie that up with the fact that there is a geological link. Crop circles always cluster on the aquifers. You can see here chalk, lime green, and you can see where all the crop circles of southern England have clustered. There's Wiltshire, you can see the biggest cluster there, but look, the following in Britain, the chalk aquifers. Lots of counties outside of these areas, full of crop fields, no crop circles, or very few. There's something in the ground which is helping to determine where these things appear. Now, it doesn't rule out other agencies from above, but they seem to be either using something in the ground, are restricted as to where they can work, maybe they're using natural energies caused by the underground water, or they're trying to attract our attention to certain places, or that's not the answer. But certainly, good people like the late David Russell, good old attender of this group many years ago, marvellous dowser, and he and many others said for years, crop circles always appear near strong underground water sources. Now we know that's true from all the geological work that backs that up. So there is a natural force involved, I think, whatever else is also involved. I think the ultimate answer to this is multi-layered. And the Earth may itself be generating these shapes or helping to. Some think crop circles are symptoms of change, whether it be climate change of whatever kind, magnetic changes, huge magnetic shifts going on to the planet at the moment. Some think we're in the early stages of a magnetic field reversal. And others think that wider cycles of the sun are going to play a big part in our future, because it's been behaving very oddly in the last 25 years, and even NASA's warning of huge solar flares, which on one hand, of course, could create big problems with the power grids. And if you saw the Blackout TV programme on Channel 4 a few weeks ago, you'll know how terrifying that will be. Seeding. But on the other hand, a lot of people like Rick Strassman and Dr. Michael Person just say it could be the increased emanations of electromagnetic activity from the sun that triggers the next stage in our evolution, and that we will grow in consciousness as a result. So there we are. Good and a bad side. It's always the way, isn't it? Those who believe that they are psychic, they're created by psychics, may remember that we did some experiments here in Sussex, with the late Paul Bure in the mid-90s, and we certainly were convinced there was an interactive quality, that you can seemingly wish for a formation and suddenly receive it. There have been many cases of people asking for formations and receiving them. Here's just a few that have arrived through that method over the years. That was at Cissbury Ring near Worthing, and that was just up the road at Fellbridge near East Grinstead, and they, we believe, are inextricably linked up with our own experiments, and we didn't make them, if anybody says that. And nobody knew what shapes we were expecting. Long story, want to know more? Dig up an old copy of the book Quest for Contact that I wrote with Paul. You can buy it usually for about 2 pennies from an Amazon seller somewhere, you know. Plus £5 postage. And, well, you know, we could be here all night. Some say it's rutting deer, others say it's rutting hedgehogs. Some say it's God making them, and it could be. But it can't be hedgehogs or deer. It's quite astonishing. I mean, I could give a whole talk showing what I've just shown there and much more. And somebody at the end will still say, well, don't you think it could be deer making them? You know, running around. And I just think, were you looking at the screen? But you have to be polite, don't you? So, right, so, enough. What about this year then? So that's a roundup, because I know many of you know it, but it's always good to refresh your minds. And those that don't know it, and I can see some new faces tonight, you get the idea. There is so much more we can say, of course. Some leaflets at the back, some website links. Look at that crop circles written by me over there if you want to have a flick through later. But now what we want to see is what happened this year. So, big expectation for last year. Good crop of crop circles last year. And then there was anticipation. What would happen? Would it fall off the cliff this year? If we'd got to the big moment that many of the formations have been building up to, would it just go? Would it diminish? What would it do? Well, the reality is this. There were less formations. About half the amount. But they didn't go away. And they're still hanging on in there. And I think we're going to need another 2 years or so to really see the curve. But the good news is it didn't vanish. And now I'll show you what did occur. As I show them, I'm not going to, for the most part, try to interpret their meaning symbolically. If anybody has a feeling about one, feel free to share it. But I'm equally not going to load the dice and say, it's man-made or not man-made. Some are scrappy and not very nice. I might point that out. But I don't know that's man-made. Zog might have just pressed the wrong button on the saucer. You just don't know, do you? So here is an unbiased view of this year's formations. Well, the first thing to say is they started extremely late. The normal year would see the first formation around the 14th of April. That's held good pretty much for the last few years. This year, June the 2nd. And people were really beginning to wonder if they would come back. But, as you may remember, it was a very late starting summer. It was good when it got going, wasn't it? But it was very slow. I mean, people still had the heating on in June in some places, and the fields were slow. So maybe, and there's two angles on this, if an agency is waiting for the right medium, it has to wait for the crops to look good. Those that believe in earth energy say sunlight helps power them up. And without enough sun, they're going to be a bit weak. Maybe there are reasons why it was late. But finally, we got there. Not the best formation in the world, but it was something. Alton Priors in Wiltshire, which of course is a place where we've had so many over the years. And you will see as we go through here, by the way, there were only about four formations that were not in Wiltshire this year. And many counties that would normally get circles had nothing this year. We've got a few scattered in slightly odd counties. So let's continue with the story. So June the 2nd, I've seen the beginning, then we've got a little heart, isn't that nice? June the 7th, oilseed rape again. Very difficult medium to work in. I mean, if you ever go in an oilseed rape formation, it's very hard to bend a stem of oilseed rape without it snapping. I can't vouch for these because I didn't go inside these ones, but I've seen 90 degree bends before with no damage to the stem. So always worth getting a look at a rapeseed formation. Chair Hill, June the 7th. Lots of formations around there over the years. And then we had this. Now, this is contentious. June the 9th at Stanton St. Bernard. Now, some say this isn't a formation. It's obviously not brilliant anyway. Some say this is a farmer's grid. Sometimes farmers create grids where they spray different bits of crop to different degrees to try to, you know, just test things. Now, some are saying that's what it is. Others are saying, no, it's an odd kind of formation. I don't know. The fact that they were even having to argue about it shows you how few things there were to discuss in June. Normally, most people wouldn't give a second look to this. But there was a feeling, my God, where have the formations gone? But they did creep back. And then interesting things began to occur. Just up the road from there, on June the 21st, midsummer, there was only four formations. Goodness me. We had this. Now, those of you that have seen the crop circles over the last few years will know you occasionally get ones which appear in instalments, and they grow, and they develop, and they change. Well, We haven't had anything too spectacular this year, but this was one example of it started, it's right, kind of interesting, but it didn't satisfy either the agency that made it or another agency that thought it could do better, because the night after, it changed into that. And so, you know, a wider ring overlaid what had previously been there. We've got these funny toothy things here. So we didn't get ones that kept growing or changing this year, but this is one that transformed overnight and was beginning to look more like the kind of design we would hope for by this point. So interest began to build up. Then we had a classic design, the Celtic cross. Same night, but calm this time. And, you know, back in the mid-1980s, this was as complex as it got. Celtic cross, that was something to talk about. Now, barely give it a second look. But it was interesting, I think, that it harked back suddenly to the older times. A simple and yet rather beautiful design, I think, even now, even after all these years. This is the one that, amongst other tabloids, the Daily Mail chose to use to demonstrate that the circles were rubbish this year. So you can already see, even by now, we've had a few that weren't this bad, but they didn't print that story till the first week of August, where there have been actually several more interesting ones. So, but we've covered that. But this was the one they showed, and sure enough, it's a very faint, not that brilliant, ring circle, but who knows how it got there, don't know. But the media are manipulative. They are not reporting things fairly. We shouldn't be surprised, I know. Always niggles me, nonetheless. So, this was June the 23rd, devices. I realise not everybody can read at the back, so I will read them out if I don't shout. More interesting things were afoot on June the 25th, however, at Silbury Hill. If you map out where all the crop circles have ever appeared in the world, Silbury is the epicentre. That's where the most cluster. And I've got something interesting to show you about Silbury a little bit later on. But just for now, we had this. So this was more the kind of thing we would expect. But what I find rather fascinating is around the edge of these sort of five-bar gate things. And it's like there's some handwritten. So they're kind of crude, but it's like they're chalk marks. So it's like they're counting down to something. Counting down to what? I don't know. But I find them rather interesting. And there it is with Silbury. So there you get the view. Obviously, I'm borrowing all sorts of images here. There are marvellous photographers out there doing great work. Support them. Go into Crop Circle Connector, click their links, buy their postcards, because they're doing a fabulous job, because we can't go out there and do this. This is a good example of a formation where the farmers started to implement a system that kind of petered out, luckily, by the end of the year, where they destroy the formation as soon as it arrives. And they got in so quickly to this one, that's all we've got. It's a drawing. Nobody even managed to photograph it. So on June the 25th at Carl, we had this kind of flower design. There was a big hoo-ha at the beginning of the year with the farmers, because there was a little meeting of some of the top farmers in Wiltshire who said, we've had enough. And sadly, that involves people like Tim Carson, who owns the land around Alton Barn. So he was very friendly over the years, would always let people in, had enough. They said, not letting anybody in. And there was an agreement among some of them, as soon as they appear, they're going to chop them down. Because that, in their minds, doesn't encourage further visitors into the field. Now, you'll see later on, they kind of got lazy about that. But at this point, they started to do it. Hence, we don't have an image. Some of the researchers, bless them, tried to see if they could placate them and tried to implement a ticket system. You could sort of buy a ticket in advance to go into a formation so that the farmers could regulate the numbers. An interesting idea. I'm not personally convinced it worked, but all power to them for trying to at least keep the farmers happy. However, this I find really more interesting and beautiful than may meet the eye. July the 6th, Avebury. You may look at it at first and say it's just concentric rings, but if you look a little bit more carefully and you zoom in a little bit more, look how clever it is. The rings taper down. So they're wide here, then they go thin, and then they go wide again. Much more fascinating than at first meets the eye. So somebody's now discovered a plank of wood that retracts as they move forward. Which is something we thought about many times when you get these tapering, thin crescents. But it's very well done. That's one of my favourite formations of the year, actually. Yes, it's simple, and yet not simple. Beautifully made. This, on the other hand, now, this is the kind of thing that is immediately more impressive to people than, say, the last one. And yet, geometrically, it's much poorer. So I'm not saying that one was not man-made and this one is. I'm just pointing out the facts of what we see here. So at Avebury Trusler on July the 7th, we have what some people have called the cosmic yacht. And you can see why. It's certainly, I think, a very ambitious attempt to do something different. Some of the blocks are a bit all over the place, but I kind of still quite like it as a design. It's trying to do something. So you can see here, you know, yeah, there was something there to catch the eye. By the way, none of these more interesting ones were reported in the Daily Mail, of course. These didn't exist. This one didn't exist either. July the 13th, Howden. Now, this was in Worcestershire. More of a traditional floral design. Very beautiful. Not many formations in Worcestershire before, but this year we had a couple, as you'll see. We'll zoom in a little bit more closely there. Interesting stuff going on with this standing tuft, seemingly not anywhere near the centre. And later on I'll show you another formation close up to show you an example of that going on. And here's somebody's photo inside where you can see the crop. You've definitely got lines that have gone down first. And we know that all, even the best formations sometimes use what Michael Glickman used to call tracer paths, and then other bits are laid around them. Not evidence that they were man-made necessarily, and sometimes the components are laid down in a way that makes no sense if you were making it manually. But you can see then a bit has swept across there very beautifully, very neatly. A nice formation indeed.
Why is it brown, the line?
It's because it's exposing the earth at that point where you've got no crop covering it. Hatpen Hill, July the 15th. I think this was one of the first formations of the year that made people draw breath. It was like, ooh! And normally, by July, we'd have had several like that, but that's how slow the year was. It was like we had to wait to get that kind of little tingly moment. Not necessarily geometrically perfect, but not bad. And by the way, it has a phenomenon. I know I point this out every year in at least one formation or another, but if you look really carefully, at some point, somebody's driven a vehicle over the field and little wheelie marks go right through the middle there. Now, I'm not suggesting that's anything to do with how the formation was made, but did somebody decide to go and have a look and couldn't be bothered to walk in? So they just drove into that. I have done that before, with permission of the farmer, with Michael Glickman, who could walk very well. We drove across the field into the middle of a formation. That was lovely. And the farmer was very sweet to let us do that. There, we sort of tried to go up the tractor marks as much as we could. But we can see this a little bit more closely. You can see some very nice stuff going on there. And you've got a circle laid in the middle there and a tuft there. But then you've got a bit sort of going round at an angle, like a sort of Catherine wheel effect. And looking at the textures, often you find it reveals more than you can at first see. And it's easy to miss that if you don't look more carefully. And we'll see that a good example of that later on. And there, somebody's pole shot looking across there, just to give you a sense of scale, because as you see them as abstract designs, you can lose the sense of where they are in the landscape. But, you know, this is also a very valid and beautiful view to have, as well as seeing it from above. So this is, again, a more sort of traditional design, playing the sort of an implied tetrahedron, maybe. July the 15th, Old Cannings, Wiltshire. But you can see that, you know, things were beginning to reach normal, really. But, of course, it's too late for the numbers to catch up. But those that believed the story, there were no interesting formations. Well, you can see that's not true. July the 22nd, Orr in Wiltshire. This kind of cosmic necklace, or paw print, maybe. It follows a design, if you wish, that we've seen in years past, where you get, you know, the larger circles and then they taper down. And then you get these rather nice little radiating little bits out here, grape shot circles, as we used to call them. And this goes back to almost to that sort of implied tetrahedral idea. June the 25th, Chur Hill. But it's added in here a more sort of planetary feel. I don't know if these are meant to represent planets, but you can see it's got that kind of orbital look about it. And I mean, for every formation I'm showing you here, if you go into the internet somewhere, and crop circle connector is usually the best place to start, there's incredible speculation about what these means. People like Red Colley, Australian guy, who I often is wrong, I think, but nonetheless, it's fantastic. He's, you know, inspired to come, says that they represent calendars and predictions of this, that, and the other. It never comes true, but it's fantastic to see what it inspires in people. And to me, that's what it's about. And people think, and then they evolve. And that, I think, is a healthy thing. There, by the way, is it next to some cosmic noughts and crosses that then appeared in the field next to it, just to give you a feel for the wider look of that. I have no idea whether that was just a joke, or maybe it's very meaningful on the planet's org. Could be, but maybe. July the 28th, Wellington, Shropshire. Now, Shropshire has not had many formations over the years, but it had a couple this year. I really like this. It's very reminiscent of some designs we had in 1990 and 91 that were described as commas. It's very neat. Nice formation. I like that. This is another play on the Celtic cross design, July the 31st, Churton in Wiltshire. Don't really have many photographs of this, but maybe that got shot very quickly, I don't know, but at least we do have that. I mean, you can see here where it's different is that it's got very large outer circles and then linked by these smaller ones here rather than just a ring, but you can see at some point a ring was laid and then the circles appeared around it for whatever reason. So into August, so Milk Hill, Wiltshire. This is one of the few photographs that exists of this design. Why? Because look what's going on here. Here comes the farmer. Here he comes. Down he goes. Gone in a few hours. Chopped down. But at least this time he managed to get a shot of it. It would make a lovely emblem for like a car or something, wouldn't it? Maybe it is, but nobody's claimed it. It's not recognised as far as I know. So it ought to be, if it isn't. So you can see here, here's another one. August the 1st, Stonehenge. Already by the, I'm sorry to keep harping on about this, but it's important to say, already by the time the papers were saying that there'd only been one or two really bad formations, all of these had already appeared. Because I just want to point out to you how we are lied to. Okay, I won't say anymore. Stonehenge, Wiltshire. So it's like an interference pattern. We've seen a number of ones like this over the years. And a couple of interesting tufty bits going on in these corners here. Let's see this one a little bit more closely. It's worth zooming in because then you get more and more of a sense of it and how it works. I like this formation very much indeed. And I think we can go even closer. And there you are inside on a misty morning. And if you want to see where that is in relation to Stonehenge, this shot reveals it. And there's Stonehenge over there. Look at that, the mist coming up. Lovely shot. Well done, whoever took that. This is a reconstruction of one that again met the farmer's meshing machine, whatever it is, same date. Now look how many appeared on August the 1st, by the way, Roundway, Wiltshire. So this is somebody's attempt to recreate what they think was there, rather crudely, but it gives you an idea. So that's all we have. We can say no more about that. I will just say this though, this kind of floral affair here is a theme we've seen over the last few years, often sort of spreading out almost like fractally across the field. So that's the only one of its kind this year. Now, this is a curious puzzle. Again, August the 1st. What a busy night. Or day.
Yes.
Etchelhampton, Wiltshire. Now, this. Now, Helen and I got into a few formations on this day, and we went into this. I'm going to show you this in close-up, just to give you an idea of the detail that you find inside. What has disturbed some people about this formation is this. Now, over the years, we've had a number of, like, cubes that seem to be showing you almost like a box in three dimensions. But this doesn't quite work. And it's troubling some people because you can see curved. They have curved sides. Now, one line of thinking is it's a mistake. It's just not very well done. Others have said, no, it's too specific. It's playing with the mind, it's playing with your eyes and your mind. It makes you want to think a box is going to appear. But it doesn't quite appear this time. So is that a mistake? Is that real? Don't know. Interesting effect down here. Can you see the ghost ring that's arrived here?
Mm-hmm.
There's a ghostly ring. Some will tell you it's a mistake. Others, including Jack Sullivan, who did a lot of very interesting work on the astronomy of the formations many years ago, says that these are deliberate and not accidents. And he has very good reason for why, and I can't remember what, but it was terribly interesting. So, I'm going to show you the inside of this, because it certainly was a spectacular formation inside. So, here we are, pole shot. Again, you can get a sense of its scale here. And by this point in the season, by the way, the farmers had started to just ease up, and this farmer just went back to the old thing of just sticking a money box at the end of the field, and everybody was fine and decent and paid and went in. Far more fuss than all this going around chopping them down. So let's have a look. So these are some pictures that we took inside. So here you are in sort of the outer ring there. So it's very neat. This is about 2 weeks after it appeared, by the way. It's well trodden down by now. But nonetheless, still interesting things to see. I'm always quite curious to see how corners work in crop circles. Don't know why, a little OCD thing. How does the crop turn a corner? And you can see here, okay, that bit's gone down first, this bit's come over the top, but other bits seem to have been swept in one go. And then look at this little tufty bit going around there. So a little bit's going around there, and then suddenly, because here's another pathway, it goes whoosh, and sucks up there. And that's something we've seen many times over the years. Now, you could say somebody just kind of kicked it around the corner when they were walking through. Perhaps, but I've seen that in many new formations right there from the start. It doesn't quite seem to make any sense if it's just a straightforward manual lay. Is the centre of one of those kind of outer components in the design there? And again, this has been well trodden on, but you know, there's been some nice stuff going on here. You've got this central swirl there, and yet there's a little then swirl within a swirl. And there's all sorts of layers. I mean, what was fascinating about this formation was that you had a lot of interesting, and I know I keep saying that word, but it is, components. Here you can see you've got the triangular part swirling around here. And you've got the cropping coming back and spilling out over onto itself. And it gives you that nice, it's almost like a sort of tsunami of crop coming across it. And a few more things to observe. Here we are, there was one circle right up at one end of it, and it had like a long pathway which actually sort of runs into the circle. So here's the circle, but you can see there's a pathway gone down first, and yet it then merges with the circle. It comes in here, and then it nips round there to create the centre, which you can see there. So there it's also, it's coming in the path, but then other crop that's flowing around meets it rather well, and it's almost as if it all just then merges into one. And it's things like that, when you then begin to look more closely, you think, that's really clever, isn't it? Here is something else to observe, easy to miss. You've got crop flowing in one direction, and then you've got a little outer bit going in another direction. It looks like one flow, but can you see, look, these are coming down here, those are going up there. Let me show you a little bit more closely. So, I mean, you know, not a deep mystery, but something, there's more to it. It wasn't just bung down with one plank of wood. You know, there are different components, different sort of like stages, if you want. So that's going that way, that's going that way. And there are quite a few bits like that going around the formation. Here we are standing in the middle of the box, so the implied box. We're right in the centre here, looking down at some people over there who are meditating, because that's what crop circles make people do when you know it. And you then had parts of the formations that joined up and left these nice standing curtains of crop here, which I always like to see, because it, you know, it's a little detail of finesse which always rather impresses me. So, back into the sky. August the 8th, Silbury Hill, a spiral. Not the best of the spirals I've ever seen, but on the other hand, you try walking a spiral that precisely, it's not easy. You know, I think that's sort of simple, but rather nice at the same time. More traditional fare here, very angular. August the 10th, Tidcombe in Wiltshire. We can see this zooming in a bit. So these kind of arrowheads here, you can see, you know, it tends to be more bits of crop are laid, sort of swept in straight directions rather than lots of swirls. And you can see here more closely what's going on there. So there's very few circular bits, only in these, and again, you've got a ring that's gone down here at some point. The rest of it is all laid straight and flat. It gives it a very distinctive look. And if you want to see even more closely, and the crane fly, you can see there what's going on as it meets in the centre. And I'm not sure how old this was when it was taken, but you can see, I think, a very fine formation. This is one of those where, maybe at the back there, you're thinking it's just a ring circle, but of course, if you look more carefully, you'll see that there's a lot of texturing going on here. August the 11th, Hackpen Hill, many old formations there in years past, and here we seem to have a Star of David, with some sort of radial bits laid in the middle here. Some of you may remember, if you saw this going around, August the 25th, which was our wedding anniversary, was the portal of peace, where a perfect Star of David was in the sky, and that's the shape the planets form. A lot of people said that was a very important moment in our history, because it was a very rare astrological configuration. So whether this was in some way trying to sort of anticipate that, I don't know. But you can see here how it works inside. So you can see here's one of the spokes, as it were, of the star. And then you've got these bits laid radially, some outwards, some inwards, to create all of that. And I think we can see the centre of it there. There we go. Where you've got the different parts of the star coming together there. So some of these things you need to take a second look. You can't just look at them and go, oh, the circle. Look at the lay, because the lay, I think, reveals many things. Okay, kind of mandala type, August the 12th, back in Worcestershire, at Bestford. What I think is quite nice about this is it's almost as if you're looking at this design on a balloon. It's like the balloon has been blown up, and it's like you're seeing it into a perspective, if you see what I mean. And I think that this is more clever than it at first appears. Well, this is getting now to the kind of complexity you would normally have expected from the middle of June, but it took till August to get there this year. So August the 13th, West Kennet. Well, what can I say? All sorts of stuff going on here. And if you want to see where it lay in relation to the famous Long Barrow, well, there it is, on the doorstep. So you can stand on the Long Barrow and look at it. So there we go. The ancient site connection still strong. Many people believe that ancient man instinctively sensed the areas of Earth energy, and they placed their sites there to tap it. So if crop circles are, as many people believe, also using that same energy to be created, it stands to reason that they will cluster in these places. This is an unusual formation, back at Hackpen Hill, August the 13th, a kind of a sort of Celtic bracelet type affair. I mean, essentially it's a ring of circles. That's sort of unusual to get one where they don't taper, but then you've got these archy bits then sort of creating that more sort of thicker effect around the edge. So quite unusual, I would say. This is one of those designs that's kind of a paradox, it's a frustration too. It's really nice to look at. August the 19th, Etchelhampton. And you can see, look at the texturing going on here. And I'm going to take you inside this one, because it's worth a look at this more closely. But it's also geometrically pretty poor, very inconsistent. And you go, it's so complex inside, and yet it didn't seem to take that much care. So what does that mean? Brilliantly made, and yet not brilliantly made. Well, you decide for yourselves. But have a look at that central bit. Very good example here of where you can see here, the circle does not just spiral out from the middle and go out and out. The centre's over here. And it's there's a standing ring of crop there. And it spirals out from there. Can you see? Getting wider. But what you can't quite see here, and I'll show you on the ground in a minute, is you've got a big tuft where you get all these contraflows suddenly all coming together, and the crop meets and splashes upwards in a big tuff. We've seen that before, but I'll show you how that works in a second. So here we are inside, and again, this was a couple of weeks old maybe by the time we got to it, so not the neatest, but you can get the idea. So there we are standing inside, you can see the tuff there, and that's looking back across the ring, So the Leia is coming around the ring here, which you can see in this picture here. Yeah, there you go, it's coming around here. And then it's meeting itself. I mean, you can see there's a bit that's gone down first here, then it's crossing over itself there. But then you get this weird haystack in the middle of it, where suddenly it just all squashes together and you get this. And there was a formation at Horton in Wiltshire some years back that had a brilliant example of this. This is not so neat, but it's something certainly that has been seen many times before. But what about the outer rings? Look at them. So it's so kind of random looking and haphazard, but from the air you saw how it created that beautiful spoked effect. But they're not straightforward. These, contrary to what you might think, they're not running straight across. They run to here, and then it meets a bit coming across from the other side, which is ever so slightly staggered from it. And then the crops sort of swept across in different directions, seemingly at random, and there you can just see again. So it's very kind of messy looking, but then you see it from above and you go, oh, that's how it works. It's very, very ambitious, and yet geometrically poor as well. So kind of frustrating, but on the other hand, that's the joy of this phenomenon, I think. So given that this was the new era, the time the ancients predicted, interesting to see a formation that has kind of Mayan-like components around the outside here. August 23rd, Beckhampton. And it's surrounding an eye design, these kind of eyes with these radial lines here. We've seen a few of those over the last few years. And this is the only time we got it in the fields this year. There you can see the eye component in more detail there. So, you know, very elaborate. And this was not the last of the formations exactly, but certainly the last of the big ones. And I would argue we didn't get an absolute masterpiece this year in England, but we certainly had, I think, far better formations than anybody's given credit for. So you can already see here for yourselves, you know, the notion that nothing happened this year is plainly untrue. Now that wasn't quite the end. The last one in the UK, not quite. August the 30th, Ashmore in Dorset. And you can see this is a design, we don't have an aerial, that's what somebody says it looks like, and you can see here the spokes. And there was another formation in Dorset that I haven't been able to get hold of a photo of, apparently. So there were a couple of formations there. But very, very few outside of Wiltshire. Nothing in Hampshire. Bear in mind, Hampshire used to be the centre of the crop circle phenomenon, around Chesterfoot Head and all that in the 80s. Nothing this year. Nothing in Sussex, but that's not new anymore. Now back to the 1990s, we were getting like 13, 14 really good patterns every year. Times change, who knows? We're dealing with something that seems to have strange sort of motivations of its own. But we're not quite done in England yet. We're nearly at the overseas ones, which I will pretty much nip through, but I thought we needed to look at this and a couple of other bits. Okay, Silbury Hill. In August, spot the crop formation. Anyone see it? Look more closely. What can you see on the top of Silbury Hill? In the grass, circles. In the long grass, on the top of Silbury. And there you can just see one there in the undergrowth. Did somebody just knock them out for a laugh? Don't know, but a lot of people missed them. And somebody said, look at the circles on top of Silbury, which means, as far as I'm aware, that is the nearest to the absolute epicentre. Well, it is the epicentre of the world's crop circles ever. There it is. That's the centre. We've had one at the absolute centre of it. I think that's really nice. It was about time to. There's something else I think is quite nice. So that's the UK, more or less. But what about the rest of the world? There's some masterpieces you haven't seen yet. But I must show you this in case you didn't see it. All Doctor Who fans! It's the 50th anniversary this year! In case you hadn't realised, in November, one day after Kennedy's death, the anniversary of that. And so, it's not a crop circle, but they did, you know, one of these mazes up north. And they're darling. Isn't that amazing? And those of you that follow Doctor Who might also be interested in the following picture, which brings the ages of Doctor Who together. Look, there's the very first one, 1963, and there's the current one. I thought that was rather good. But here's the point. Here's the point. These took weeks to make. To lay them out and plant them. Weeks. Weeks. Crop circle appears in like a few hours or even one night, and people go, oh, it's just a crop circle. Doesn't make any sense to me. The attitude is so weird towards crop circles. And you say, yeah, but hang on a minute. Something can do this genius stuff in almost no time at all. And yet you're getting excited about these. Nonetheless, very good. New Doctor Who, Peter Capaldi. What the hell is that going to be like? Interesting times ahead. I'll share this with you too. This is a bit sad, but now there's various sand formations people keep making, and somebody's saying, oh, that goes to show anybody can make a crop circle. Sand's a totally different medium. But this, we thought, was rather fascinating. It's a sad one. These are on the Normandy beaches, look, to represent all the fallen, and they've sculpted the sand. You can see that they're doing it, they're sort of making the sand wet with a stencil. So they commemorate the fallen. I just thought that was rather beautiful. Not crop circles, but I thought worth just sharing there. So, what about the rest of the world then? Now, I'm not going to show you every formation in the rest of the world, partly because I can't pronounce the names. As some of you will recall from previous years. So, we'll just kind of round up here. And it is a global phenomenon. It's always been a global phenomenon. That's not new. But you often don't hear much about what's going on elsewhere. So, let's have a roundup of a few other countries. France doesn't get much, but occasionally it gets a nice one. That's what it had this year. Rather good, I thought. Slovenia, a ring circle, not much, but hey. Slovakia, that looks to me like the one that got chopped out by the farmer. Remember that diagram? Mm. So it's almost like, oh, we won't risk that again, we'll go to Slovakia. So there we are. So it materialised in the end, again. Belgium. Now, Belgium's had a few over the years. There's no aerial shot of this, but I liked this because a curious phenomenon at work. The farmer came in, as they do, and then cut the field, but for some really odd reason, he didn't lower the blades properly. So after he cut it, that's suddenly what it looked like. Can you see what's going on here? So he's not cut it down to the ground, and it's just like he's cut the top half down of the rings, so he's still left with the pattern still standing up. Why didn't he lower the blades? I mean, in England, they've got used to lowering the combine blades to retrieve as much of it as they can. It's like he didn't quite know what to do. So what he's done, I think, is pull up the blades of the combine, but it's left it there, which I thought was rather sweet. Switzerland up here has some lovely formations over the years. Not so great this year, but it's all right. The swallows, you know, you get these formations with like birds, like sort of stylized swallows. Kind of got that in there. Last year we had a really astonishing formation in Bavaria in Germany. This year, this is kind of a sequel. It's not quite so good, but it's still pretty interesting nonetheless. But Germany's been, on the whole, quiet. Now, you know, over the years, it's often been nearly second to England in terms of numbers and complexity. Italy has taken that crown in recent times. You'll see that in a minute. Poland had a few formations, that's one, don't know what that looked like, you can get an idea there. Maize, here's a formation of maize, and you can see the maize here is actually curved within one stem's length there. Maize, I mean, you know what maize is, it's like, you know, an inch across, and yet you get these swirls and bends. I'll show you another good example of that in a minute. This was in Norway, this has only just been reported actually, this is a very late reported formation. I just think this is unusual and quite nice. It's by the sea. Do you want to see how near the sea it is? Look, go to this one. A bit blurry, but you get the idea. So you can be by the seaside and in a crop circle. What better holiday could you want? Russia and Ukraine. Russia has had a number of designs over the years. A couple this year. But, you know, it's something. And they get very excited over there. They send the military in. It's all a big news story. You know, Russia have a different attitude to these things. I mean, Russia has a very good record in parapsychology. They're much more open to the paranormal than we are here in the West, for what it's worth. And the Czech Republic. So, we have, over the years, had a lot of stuff going on about 10 years ago, and then it went quiet, and then the last couple of years it started to step up again. So here's a few from the Czech Republic. A bit scrappy here and there maybe, but nonetheless, I'm sure they were very pleased to get them. So it's going on around the world. Now, the Netherlands, it's a funny old one, this, because some of you will know the tale of Robert. Most of these formations have appeared in an area by the house of Robert van den Broek. And Robert and Nancy Tauber, who worked with William Levengood, did a lot of very interesting experiments, and they had balls of light appearing around his house. Nancy and he watched a formation appearing, which I believe. And yet, in recent years, there have been claims that the guy's been going a bit nutty and hoaxing formations. That, well, I don't know. I like to believe that's not what's going on. But this year, certainly, after all these scrappy grass circles, we start to get these rather more impressive ones this year. So the Netherlands has stepped up in quality, and Robert's been getting some very, I think, intriguing formations because they are very nicely made. And, you know, I'm not in any way criticising Robert because he's done a lot of very interesting things. I'm only reporting to you what others say about him. But here is another maize formation. Isn't that rather lush? And if you want to see how the roots of a maize plant are in the formation, look at that. So it hasn't snapped, there's no obvious damage to the stem there, and its roots are still left in the mud. Look at that, so it's just gone down flat, it's still clinging on there. So it's always good to see these close up. And there's another one that Robert had near his home, which is this one, and I really like the lay of this one. You can see it a bit there, but there you can see it more closely. You've kind of got this sort of, you know, it's almost radial. You've got these radial bits in the middle. And then all of this. If you've ever seen the film Signs with Mel Gibson, this is what they get their crop circle in maize. But of course, most of them are not in our country. So to Italy. So Italy is probably nearest to England in terms of the numbers and style of formation we have. We're still on the top of the list, but it's not done badly. Here's a few from this year. But the best is yet to come. There's a few more. And you may recall, over the last two or three years, they've had several formations which have, there'd be a real humdinger, at least one humdinger every year. And this year, this was the humdinger. I think it's a really very stunning formation. It's clearly, it's like a compass, isn't it? It's like a sort of chart with bits of cheese around the edge. I don't know what's going on here, I don't know. But it's very specific. It's like, you know, there's a lot of thought or something's gone into that. And I think Italy, you know, it always manages to come up with the one that sort of like somehow beats the rest. It has the last couple of years, just at the last minute, or Bavaria will. So we're living in very interesting times, that word again, because we don't know where this is going to go. Okay. And I'm going to give you a little epilogue here, because it may be that we don't need the formations in the same way that we used to. When the early research work was up and running, you know, it was imperative to get together with other researchers. And remember, the internet was absolutely in its infancy. When we began here in 1991, hardly anybody was on the internet. So you had to come together to find out what was going on and exchange information. Now that's changed. We have technology at our fingertips, which is really astonishing. It's given us the chance to share important information about truth issues, about trying to change the world. The authorities know the genie's out of the bottle, which is why they're trying to push it back in again. And all the anti-pornography legislation they're trying to bring in is very dangerous. Not because there aren't some good intentions, but look at the small print. Some of you may not be aware that if you click on your server, as David Cameron wants you to say, I do not want pornography, what it's not telling you is in the same small print, if you don't read it, it also would exclude, get this, esoteric material. Yeah. Think of the implications of that. So they're trying to shut down these avenues of knowledge we've had. But here we are years on. We're still like some of us to come together and talk about this phenomenon, but we have the world at our fingertips. Maybe we don't need the formations in the same way to bring us together. They didn't bring bring the whole world together. They probably brought about 0.5 of the world's population together. But those that were gathered by the circles have made a difference. You look at some of the people today doing the most astonishing truth work, and it began with circles. They might not own up to it, but it did. And there are people out there in the world like Ian Crane, Marcus, and several other people out there, Jeff Stray, who've gone on to change the world with their knowledge, began with circles. And it began here in this room. How about that? And many other places like it. Not boasting, it's happened all over the world because of the crop circles. But now there's a sense, hey, 2012 and all that, oh heck, we're there. We're in the new era. The consciousness shift that was predicted is happening. I truly believe that. Anybody that says to you the 2012 phenomenon was a load of rubbish and meant nothing, I don't believe you. It is real. We are living it. You're seeing the shift. Now, it wasn't the end of the world. It didn't all happen in one day. Who said it was ever going to? Almost nobody. The serious researchers knew it would take time. We're now in those times. So my feeling is this. We can still get some formations. I'm encouraged. You've seen more occur than maybe you knew. But maybe it's going to slowly back off and it will become not so crucial. And there'll come a year when you think, oh, it's really lovely to see them. I don't need that now. I am savvy enough to know I've got to get out there and do some good for the world. I don't need to see a pretty pattern to make me think, oh, what's that telling me? We're in those times. And I'd just like to end by just sharing with you a few other images that might stimulate you that are entirely natural. And I saw recently some images that I just thought I really had to share. So here we are, we're in the new era. Whatever you think, whether the Mayans were expecting the end of the world or not, and all the other cultures, we are in it. It's up to you to make it something. If you think it was a load of rubbish, well, why don't you make it something instead? I suspect most of you don't think it was a load of rubbish. You know something has shifted. And even in the last 6 months, I would argue, something's shifted. Never mind the last few years. There's something big happening in the world, and it offers great promise and opportunity. And all around us, we're discovering new things. So I saw this image recently. Have you seen this? These are sprites. This is really an astonishing phenomenon. It's another sign of the hubris of the academic elite. For years, some people have said during thunderstorms that they'd seen these kind of jets shooting up high above the clouds. And the scientists went, oh, piffle! And then a few years ago, they started to photograph them. And now they've realised it goes on nearly all the time when you get a storm. And here's the latest picture of sprites. So there's a storm going on down here somewhere. And high, high up, at the very top of the atmosphere, these incredible jets going up. Sprites there, and it's like they have a life of their own, but you need to have a special camera. You have to slow it down. They're so quick, you almost don't see them. So again, something we're told could not exist does exist.
The same phenomenon apparently takes place on top of certain tsunami waves.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, there's a lot of energy in anything like that,
yeah.
Wave or tsunami. And I know this came out a year or two back, but I thought I'd share this with you too. They didn't realise fluid dynamics could make a hexagon. This is the pole of Saturn, one of the poles of Saturn. I think it's the South Pole. The Cassini spacecraft took this. Look at that.
Yeah.
It's not a fake image. It's absolutely real. It creates a natural hexagon. Some are arguing it can't be natural. It must be aliens. I don't accept that personally.
I've seen it recreated, Andy, in a lab situation using, is it kinematics?
Yes, kinematics.
Yeah, even with the eddies going around as well.
Which, by the way, some people think may be involved with crop circle creation as well. Sound, whatever else may be also going on. Are you curious, however, to know what goes on at the very, very middle of the pole? Because I was. And it's a humdinger. Here's the close-up. Look at that. That's it. So it's almost like a whirlpool at the poles of Saturn. They're like weird horses or something, aren't they, racing around? So we live in a solar system, so many wonders, we understand almost nothing. Never mind life beyond our solar system. You know, they reckon there's life from Europa, maybe, and other satellites, but just the natural wonders are just so stimulating. Did you see this? I'm sure I've shown this before. The Heart Galaxy with a yin and yang in it. This is real, not fake image. There is a real galaxy out there like this. So, talk about coming from the heart. I think that's a very fine example of it. And this is a picture I saw, I'll just share with you. It's just one, Michael Hastings won the Amateur Astronomer Photographer Award of the Year. And in fact, I've had to cut the ends off of this, otherwise it would have been just a strip. Find this on the internet. It's just lovely. That's a lighthouse, by the way, in case you're wondering. But there's the Milky Way spread across the galaxy. And I mean, I don't know about you, but when I do look out at the sky at night, you know, it really does give you a whole other sense of where you are. But that's looking out that way, okay? If you don't do that very often, well, you should. Go and lie in your garden. Go on, let's look at the stars one night. But what about looking back the other way? Some of you may have seen this. I showed this at Glastonbury this year, but you might not have seen this. Here is an image from the Cassini spacecraft. And it only occasionally gets to take this view because of the angles and all of that. There's us. That's the Earth there, looking back the other way. What you can't see in this picture is that all the scientists in the world knew that this picture was going to be taken. Cassini only gets to a certain angle every now and then. So they planned, and they got thousands of people all around the world, and I know it sounds stupid, but they did, to go outside and wave at Saturn. So what you can't see are people all over the planet waving at Cassini. Hey! But I found this picture very moving. It sends a shiver down my spine because we do need to take care of what's happening here. That's all we've got.
Yeah.
One day we'll get off the planet, I'm sure, but we're not there yet. Right? This is all we have. If there are agendas from people that are being governed, I think largely by money and power and greed, that are endangering the planet, it is a duty to stand against that. Because these people don't seem to have our long-term interests at heart. And they may just not see the reality of what they're really achieving. They may even think they're doing it for the best good. I don't believe that they are. And when I see pictures like this, I just think, you know, yeah, it's not even like a little hobby. Perhaps I'll do something about this. You have to. If you have the knowledge that all these things are going on, you've got a responsibility. Yeah, we've all got to earn some money and raise families and just do the normal things, but you can find the time. Even if you just spend an hour to write your MP about fracking, who will ignore you? But do it anyway, whatever it may be. Go down to Balkan. Just spend an hour there and stand there. Is Saturday something coming up? Anything, make your voice heard, right? Because I truly believe we are in times of opportunity. Whether the circles we've seen tonight relate to all of this, whether that's chance, well, that's for you to make your mind up about. But I do know this, that anything that deepens people's minds and awareness about the world they're in serves a function. For people like myself, it was the circles that started it. Still going on, but we now have to do their job. They seem to be diminishing. Going to have them for a while longer, I think. We have to now step in. We have to take, if you like, that message, if you want the message out there. And we have a chance. The new consciousness of these times, right, is an opportunity. It's all a bit dark and worrying sometimes, but equally, look around. You can see something shifting. Something's moving. We have to try right now to make the most of that while we still have that opportunity. So I'd like to thank you for sticking with me tonight. We've covered a lot of ground, I know, but thank you for coming. And whatever this does to move you, go out there and make something of it. Good luck. Thanks for listening.
Where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.